Well, hi, this is James Gall with God Encounters Ministries, and I've had the privilege of knowing Doug Addison for a long time. He came to some of the early conferences when I was in Kansas City. I think that he listened to one of my Actually, it was a cassette tape. It goes back that long. Message of mine on restoring the fire on the altar. These type of messages. And while it was prophetic encounters, it was really more about teachings on prayer. And Doug apparently listened to this over and over and over. I didn't know who he was. He was one of the many faces that came from California to Kansas City. And I was one of the prophetic people. But Doug persisted, and we became friends. And then over the years, I became one of Doug's primary lifelines. I helped him get connected in with Harvest International Ministries, and I helped him just get a few relationships. I really valued Doug and Linda. Try to have, you know, a dinner or something with Doug often when I would come out for my trips to California. My assistant for years, Jeffrey Thompson, and I would always look forward to Doug's word for each month, because they were sharp. They weren't fluffy. They were accurate words of discernment. And we would lean into a word from Doug. I probably had Doug Addison on my discerning times and seasons more than almost any of the men prophetic speakers. Now, of course, I had Cindy Jacobs and Patricia King and Jane Hammond, but out of the men, I probably had Doug as much or more than any. That's how much I valued his voice. We had fun together, too. I remember, we could be real serious and turn on a dime and laugh our heads off and our heads back on. I remember being in San Diego with Jeremy Nelson for a gathering, and goodness, that was Doug. Doug was obviously known as the dream interpreter. And let me tell you this. Out of my 50-plus years in full-time vocational ministry, Doug Addison is the only person when on a phone call, he told me my dream without knowing it, and then gave me the interpretation. Are you kidding me? That's a Daniel-level type thing. He's the only one that's ever done it, period. Thank you, Lord. So while I became one of Doug's primary sounding boards, and yes, I received a text every day. Did I know what to do with this bombardment from Doug? No, no one did. But I appreciated his persistence. This man was so tenacious. He wanted healed. He wanted delivered. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be delivered. Well, he got delivered. He sure did. You know, in praying about Doug's life, I have a peculiar phrase that has come to me. He gives to his beloved, even in their sleep. I know I'm going to use this verse in a very unusual way. Doug has fallen asleep, and he gives to his beloved, even in his sleep. Doug is no longer tormented. He's no longer chasing after his deliverance. He no longer has fear. He is consumed with perfect love that casts out fear. I bless you, Linda. I bless the family. And God gives to his beloved, even in their sleep. And God is really pleased with this tattoo prophet. God bless you. This is James W. Gall. Doug Addison's older brother. Amen. Amen. Love you all. Bye-bye.
I've been invited to say a few words about my friendship with Doug and Linda Addison. And I met Doug many, many years ago. In fact, the first time I met him was before I remember meeting him. Some time ago, he did come to our house and we spent some time together. But I also had the privilege of being with him during his last ministry trip. My friend Rob Gross and I invited him to come to Mountain View Community Church and to the Kingdom Institute for our annual apostolic meeting in Aiea, Hawaii. And when I picked up Doug, it was clear that he was wrestling strongly against the oppression that had come against him, and also wrestling against the medical issues that were causing him great distress that eventually led to him going home with the Lord. We had the privilege of spending time with him, and both personally and as he came to the meetings, and we recognized that he was really in a lot of distress. And so we invited him just to attend, and we wanted to bless he and Linda with a free trip to Hawaii. And during that 4 or 5 days, we picked him up and took him home several times and also spent time with him during our meetings. I've always been impressed with Doug and his openness to being healed. Unlike anybody I've ever seen, he has contended for healing and was a mighty warrior coming against so many things that had come against him during his lifetime. I know many of you knew him as a communicator and as a wonderful prophet and a great servant of our Lord. And I have to say that I never knew him in that capacity. I had told him one day that we would serve together in a meeting, and that actually happened, I guess, in a passive way. But I knew his reputation, and I was always impressed with him as a person. Doug fought the good fight, and many of you may not be aware of the war that he was involved in, but he was absolutely victorious, and I am confident that he has gone into eternity as a wonderful servant of our Lord. He entered his service to the Lord well and was a great example of someone who contended for total healing so that he might be fully used by the Lord. So, Linda, it's been a great joy to know you and Doug. And I certainly speak blessings on you as you now spend so much time grieving over the loss of your husband and your soulmate. It's a great privilege for me to be able to speak highly of my friend Doug Addison.
I'm in Israel right now, and I really wish I could be at the memorial for Doug Addison. You know, I met Doug in 2010 at the GMT Studios, and when we met, there was an immediate connection with him and Linda. You know, it was so significant that we actually talked about doing a meeting together in April of 2011. Well, when we first did the meeting, it was actually a Frisbee party where Doug Addison was involved with me on the movie about Lonnie Frisbee called The Prodigal. And the very first meeting we did was on April 9, 2011, which was actually the 105-year anniversary of Azusa Street. Doug was always and is a pioneer. He was a pioneer in the realm of, he ended up reading people's tattoos to give them prophetic insight. He started reaching out to the LGBT community and literally building a bridge to them. We were actually in a Hollywood nightclub for the Finger of God and the Father of Lights, you know, series that we were in there praying and prophesying over people in a nightclub and on Venice Beach. And so I know that at this time that even as Doug just turned 67, 67 was the year that God ended up using a young man named Lonnie Frisbee that was the catalyst for a movement. I believe that as Doug has transitioned into heaven, that we are now going to see a great movement of God's power, greater than any movement known to man. And now that Doug is in the cloud of witnesses, along with many of the others that have gone before us, that we are going to see a great wave of the Spirit come forth. We miss you, Doug Addison, but we know that you are there in the cloud of witnesses, along with great patriarchs such as William J. Seymour, Lonnie Frisbee, and many others that have gone before that are waiting for this great wave of revival and reformation that's coming to the planet. We miss you, Doug Addison, but we know that for such a time as this is God releasing this wave, and on the other side that you'll be cheering us on and praying with us that the greatest show on earth is here. God bless you. Coming to you live from Israel, even as the bombs are dropping all around us, God is getting ready to drop bombs of his glory and his grace for such a time as this, as he called us to the kingdom. God bless you all.
Let's welcome the powerfully positive, funny guy from the West Coast, Doug Addison.
I was born in the 50s, grew up in the 60s, and then the 70s came around. Now, my voice changes when the 70s, as I do my impersonation of Doug in the 70s. But when I came to Jesus in the 70s, it was a trip. Okay, let me set the stage for you. All right. I was reading the book, The Shining. Stephen King is in my testimony. And a car battery blew up in my face. A car caught on fire. And I was like all freaked out, you know, like something new. I was having a reoccurring nightmare of being chased, right? And I knew that God was going to do something in my life, but I didn't know what it was, right? And so I went up to the store. I don't want to shock anyone. This really is my story dramatized for effect. But I went up to the store and I saw this witch that I knew from school. Anyone know a witch from high school? You know, had black hair and a mouse in their pocket and stuff like that. No, just me. Maybe it's California. But I saw this witch I knew from school, and I told her, you know, she said, what's going on? I go, well, you know, a car battery blew up my face, and a car caught on fire. I'm reading the book, The Shining, and, you know, I'm, like, messed up. And she goes, oh, I can help you. So she talks to me, and then finally she says to me, she listened to my things, and she goes, you know what? I think you need Jesus. I'm like, dude, you're a witch. Need Jesus. Like, witches don't say that. She goes, don't tell anybody. I actually like Jesus. I just don't like church. Whoa. That was weird. And so I was living in a drug house at the time. You know what a drug house is? It's a place you don't want to be. But let's just put it. It's a bad business deal. Anyway, I was living in a drug house at the time. And so I actually ended up receiving Jesus Christ as my personal savior in my basement of a drug house. Here's how I want, ladies and gentlemen, if you're taking notes tonight, you want to know how to mess up a drug house? Come running in the door and say, I just received Jesus Christ as my personal savior. That will mess a drug house up. So my friends start seeing like a change in my life. They're like, oh my goodness, you know, Doug's changing. We want to go to church with you. I'm like, well, I'm not sure it would work. Because see, I had a revelation of Jesus. You've got to have a revelation of Jesus to show up at church, right? You know what I'm saying? I didn't want them to freak out or anything, or freak the people out. So they're like, no, nope, we want to go. So I thought, This is still the 70s, right? I'm going to just take them on the potluck night, right? Because that'll be safe. So we show up, and they were all disappointed. There wasn't any pot at all. Just a bunch of munchies. But I didn't know what to do, you know. I didn't know. It was one of those churches where you don't know when to sit or stand. So I was like the wave. Whenever they, you know, I would like, whoops! I'd pop up at the wrong time in the wave, you know. I knew that. I went a few weeks, and I knew that I had to catch the wave. I don't know. They're going to stand up. I'm looking around. I'm all nervous. Like, I'm not even listening to the sermon or what, anything. I'm just like, I just want to make sure I stand up and do all those things that they do right when they do them. You get that figured out, maybe you'll be in heaven. Maybe that's the secret to things around here. And so they did. That guy gets up and he goes, if you're new with us, you can fill out a pew card. I'm like, a pew card? I pull this pew card out. They have a little golf pencil. Put my name down. They got some boxes to check on there. I looked at it and it says, would you like a visitation? Check. I was hoping a visitation from God or an angel. Instead, some guy from the church showed up with coffee breath over at my house. Kind of strange. And so I kept trying to really kind of fit in. I kept trying to find my way, you know. And so I finally, this is San Francisco, I found two other Christians at work, you know. And I came up into their little crowd they had going on there at lunchtime. And I said, well, I'm going to church now. And they said, is he a Christian? And I said, yeah. And they said, go check his car for a fish. You know, they're like, ran a guy out there and see if I had a fish or something. You know, he had to have some kind of emblem, you know, to get into the club. And so what church do you go to? I go, that's a mainline denominational church. Big stuff down there. And so we're sitting there, and I'm trying to find out more about Jesus. And every time that we get together at lunch, I notice they talk this strange language. I had never heard this language before. Later I found out it was called Christianese. Are you familiar with it, Christianese, yeah? You know, in other words, it's obscure biblical references and things only Christians know, and you have to have a card and a decoder ring to figure things out, apparently. I wasn't in the club yet. So, like, the guy says, well, I sit down, they go, have you been saved? I'm like, well, I almost died when I was a kid. I said, no. Have you been sanctified? Sanctified? Is that like refried? Because I like refried beans. No, have you been convicted? Well, my criminal record shouldn't have anything to do with finding out about Jesus. I thought I was forgiven of that. And who told you, anyway, about my conviction? My gosh. Finally, the guy said, have you killed the old man yet? What? Killed the old man? Christians mislead youth. News at 11. Another one says to me, it was a little bit time later, I sit down and they said, because they were talking, I go, what are you guys talking about? And they said, have you fallen on the rock yet? Fallen on the rock? The other one says, just don't let it fall on you. And they all laugh. I'm like, whoa, I'm taking notes. Watch out for rocks. Maybe it's rock music. Should I burn all my music? No, Doug, because later you're going to buy it all back on iTunes. Don't burn it. Happened to anyone else? And so I'm really trying to find out. And they said, well, you need to go to church, your church, and go ask them how to get involved into a class or something. So I go, okay. I told them about checking the boxes on the pew cards. So I go to church. See, my family's from the South, and I'm not talking Southern California either. So I really was kind of not highly educated growing up. So I didn't understand things, especially big words. Like, I went up to some guy. I go, well, I need to find out more about how to get plugged in and stuff. And he goes, oh, you'll find out. Oh, yeah. It's in the foyer. Foyer? But foyer, that sounds like some fancy French dessert or something. You know? I wasn't sure. Another one says, you need to find the vestibule. It's in the vestibule. Vestibule? That sounds like a cleansing pool experience. Vestibule. Whoa. So I couldn't find the vestibule. I was wondering where the vestibule was. I thought it was up at the baptismal, but it was empty. So I was poking around the church, and finally some guy said, hey, buddy, you need help? It's in the narthex. Narthex? Have you heard about a narthex? Sounds like some growth on some guy's neck. Narthex, you know? Quasimodo's going to come out from behind the big organ. Hey, buddy, I'll take you to the narthex right now. It'll change your life. Well, he took me out there to the narthex, which I found out, actually, they were all talking about the lobby. I had been there a lot and my life had never changed. And here I had been on a spiritual journey for 3 weeks to find the lobby. Has this happened? I was thinking, why don't they just put it in plain English? I could have cut 3 weeks off of my Christian journey right there. Anyway.
Put them together for Doug Addison.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, Doug Addison here. Welcome to Spirit Connection. It's August 8, 2012, and that is 8-8. That is a significant number for those of you who understand biblical imagery and understanding things like that. 8 is new beginnings, and I really believe that we're in a time right now of new beginnings. I've been talking about all year about kind of building up to this month about a new way to operate that God is releasing to us. A new way to operate in the kingdom. We really do need to find this new way to grab hold of things, the things that God's bringing to us. We need to be part of the kingdom of God. This is what God's been telling me the last few days and the last few, actually, months, is that we had to be very careful that we don't get a worldly political view, especially of Christianity. Is we want a kingdom view of what God's doing. Doug Addison here at Spirit Connection Live. And it is Wednesday, March 6, 2013. Welcome to the broadcast. You know, I had several dreams about a new sound and a new creativity coming from heaven. And this was instruments. One dream I saw these instruments. One was a cello. It looked like a guitar. It was half cello guitar connected to a computer. And I knew this with three of these dreams that there was a new anointing from God coming on musicians. Songwriting. It's going to open up the spiritual realm. This isn't limited to worship right now. This is on music in general, but God wants to use this creativity to draw people to himself also, but to break open things in the spiritual realm. But anyway, let's get going. We're going to get rolling. I got a prophetic word for 2014. Got some things to talk to you about and give you an update on what we're doing in LA and my health. And some a lot of fun things. So, Father, we thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for your goodness. And, God, we ask your Holy Spirit to flow right now, even through the Internet. Yes, more through the Internet, because the Internet was intended for much more than it's being used right now, and that we want to take the airways. And so, Father, we just declare and decree that there is a flow of the Holy Spirit happening right now. And so, Father, I thank you that you're doing something new right now. And we just ask your Holy Spirit to come, and we just pray for a supernatural impartation, a supernatural blessing, a supernatural opening of the heavens in Jesus' name. Whenever you're in a situation, you know, you want to be able to hear God and not your own thoughts and your own things. So I test myself. I put myself to training all the time. But wow, what an opportunity. And so I asked God, and I heard the Lord say, Seattle, and this is the championship, the NFC-AFC championships prior to the Super Bowl. I heard that Seattle would beat Green Bay, and New England would beat Baltimore. And then the Patriots, the New England Patriots, would be in the Super Bowl with Seattle Seahawks, and New England would win. And, you know, someone asked, well, did you actually release that publicly? No, I did not. I did with my inner core intercessors. The reason I didn't is because some people might be immature and some people might go out and gamble or something like that. I didn't want that to happen. I just wanted to hear God and know that that I was hearing him and that fun stuff. Like
Passover is the time when God can give us instructions on how to get out of getting out of bad situations. I mean, if you look at the original one in Exodus 11 and 12, God gave Moses and the Israelites a strategy on how to let that destroyer pass over their houses, because the last day was plagues that were coming. That was, in other words, things that looked bad were actually used for goods. Many people have been discouraged. They've been saying, why are the prophets, you know, some of the prophets are saying things that are opposite than others. There's been all this strange stuff. They've been discouraged. The hopelessness has set in. But hear the word of the Lord. This is not the time to pull back. This is the time to move forward. This is the time to trust the Lord like never before, because the enemy is trying to get people to reject the prophets, to reject the prophetic ministry, because God's about to move in a really, really big way. Here's what's going to happen. Those who've been on injured reserve, maybe that's you. Maybe you've been felt like you were forgotten by God, like Joseph in Genesis 41, who was in prison. Then a 24-hour turnaround restoration happened in his life. It was like overnight. Expect to see those quick, sudden good breaks. My favorite verse, unrelenting disappointments leaves you heartsick, but a sudden good break can turn life around. Proverbs 13:12 in the Message version. Watch for strategic and divine connections start to happen. And I see this happening several times in the past, which is the movement into a new season. It's a time of realignment. And as this starts to happen, it's going to bring about those major changes in relationships, associations, locations, relocations, ultimately bring new assignments to you as well. Now, you might not qualify for all those, but God's doing something right now, and we can expect to see things happen. I'm really excited for what's coming right now, and we've been under some heavy storms. We've been under warfare. The enemy of our souls has been at work. And as I've been saying this for a while, I say, you know, these violent acts and the earthquakes and storms and everything going on, they are not from the Lord. This is the enemy. This is Satan that's trying to get you to believe that you've missed it. He's trying to get us distracted. But I want to tell you, God is preparing for something new right now. And I believe 2019 is going to be a real interesting time in a fun way. And, you know, it's time to believe and not doubt. And in the midst of some of the heaviest trials over the past month for myself, I've actually had some of the greatest encounters with the Lord, honestly. I've had really some of the greatest encounters, but at the same time, the enemy's been in there trying to devalue those things. So don't look at the storm. You want to look at what God's doing. Jesus actually began to prophesy back in Luke 21:26. He begins to prophesy an attack we are seeing today. One of the number one causes of death in the United States, according to the Center for Disease Control, is heart disease, heart attacks. Jesus prophesies this in Luke 21:26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, Jesus tells them there's a shaking coming on the earth, and it's the fear that will cause heart attacks. It's fear, because fear is a four-letter word that starts with F. Did I just say that? Yes, I did. Fear is something that doesn't belong. It's a demonic force that will come in and can destroy our lives now.
And so I'll be talking this month about the coronavirus, and I'll be also giving a prophetic word for the month of March. And so first of all, I just want to say that don't be afraid about what's going on right now in the world with the coronavirus. And the enemy is trying to distract from what God wants to bring. And this is a time that we need to really press in and not be afraid.
This is going to be an amazing year. Lord, I pray that you would release this world, this word over the world. I pray for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, that they would be able to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying right now. I pray that you would release us, Lord, from the perils of the pandemic. I pray, Father, for those who have lost, those who are hurting, you can step up in the storm. The Lord says, step up in the storm.
But the Lord spoke to me and a few apostolic and prophetic leaders
leaders around me to do. He said, I remember one, you would know his name. I don't want to say it, but he called me and said, I want you, you need to really consider this. Do what you do best. You need to look in the camera every week and tell people it's going to be okay, because it is. And I knew what that meant, is that the Lord is moving right now. And, you know, we can start focusing on the storm. That's what I do right now. I'm just going to look at the camera right now and tell you. I'm not kidding. This is what the Lord says, that it's going to be okay. And it is.
You can take refuge in the Lord. Psalm 16, verse 1. Keep me safe, my God. Right? For in you, I take refuge. You know, as I have mentioned before, many times, by praying, repenting, and using Bible verses, are very, very powerful. And we can actually call out to the Lord for mercy, forgiveness, and protection and safety. And just do that right now. Lord, we just ask for mercy, forgiveness, protection, and safety.
We are personally, with Enlight Connection, we're battling, Linda and I, we need your help. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we ask the Lord to move on our behalf and on your behalf right now. A lot of people are walking through it, and as I've mentioned previously, we've been walking through difficult times, but the Lord is with us.
Mark 4:39, then Jesus rose up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and he said to the sea, peace be still. To the storm, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm.